listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns for the latest draft news, photos, videos, and more from the team. Like them on Facebook at Cleveland Browns. Follow them on Twitter at Browns and on Instagram at Official Browns. Still time to hear from you, 216-578-0850. John, football, always a popular topic. Is he the quarterback that you want at number four? So far on Twitter, that's really the only response that we've got have been, yes, take Johnny Football at number four. So that's
There's momentum building, Nathan.
There is.
We know that.
There is. Yeah.
You know, I hear real quickly, I'm going to ask you, though, to me, you know, everybody uses the term, well, look at the excitement it'll bring. Look at the seats it'll sell. You know, that's great. Do you win football games?
That's all I care about.
Doesn't that have to be first and foremost over, doesn't that supersede excitement or selling seats?
In most cities, I would say yes. I could see in Jacksonville where the business aspects of what he can bring to the table could supersede maybe a pure football evaluation. Obviously, you still think he's good.
Right,
but
right.
He can do something else. In Cleveland, the excitement is here. The fans are here. All they want and all they deserve is a winner.
Yeah.
A winner. End of the day, bottom line, winner. Now, you did talk a little bit, though, about the momentum coming with John Football perhaps
being the
number four pick. Mel Kiper, in his latest mock draft, has Johnny Football going fourth overall to the Browns. Mm-hmm. Kiper talks about that pick.
You get it back to where he's rated. I have these quarterbacks anywhere between 12 and 18. You're picking number one. You can't get the 12th to 18th best player. And you can say, well, they disagree. They think he's number one. Well, you better think he's number one ahead of Clowney. If Clowney's not in this drafting, it's a different ballgame. Then you're saying, do you take Khalil Mack or a quarterback? Okay, I'd still take Khalil Mack. But when you have Clowney in the mix, you don't take the quarterback. Then he drops down to Jacksonville at three. He drops down to Cleveland at four, who need an identity, need energy brought to their offense and to their organization. That's where Manziel would make a lot of sense, either Jacksonville at three or Cleveland at four.
And I think Jacksonville at three makes more sense. I think if the football evaluators in this building have decided that Johnny Manziel is the best quarterback in this draft and he's the guy they have to have, that's one thing. But in terms of the excitement and energy that Mel Kiper himself just referenced, that sells better to me with Jacksonville than it does for the Browns.
It screams that football city, which, let's face it, I mean, they've been playing overseas the last couple of years, right?
Yep.
But in each season, there's always conversation about if there's relocation done in the NFL.
Then
that's
it would be Jacksonville.
The franchise isn't in good shape. So,
sure.
Yes, it screams that. All right, so Mel Kiper then. You've got Johnny Manziel going to the Cleveland Browns at number four. What factors are you using? Why, Mel?
It would be tough for any of these teams that you're picking early because, you know, Johnny brings that it factor. I say he's a pass-fail quarterback. He's not a quarterback you rate with the other guys. You either love him or you don't. And I don't think anybody knows for sure what kind of NFL quarterback he'll be. He's the most discussed, most polarizing figure at any position I can ever remember because some really like him. Some don't. It's 50-50 on that, but you have four teams in the top eight that desperately need a quarterback, and you got to believe he's not getting out of the top eight.
Mm.
And that's interesting, and he's a pass-fail quarterback. And I know from talking to NFL talent evaluators around the league that guys can sit together, watch the same Johnny Manziel game together, and one can end up loving him and think he's the best quarterback, and the other one watching the same tape, seeing the same thing, can say that you cannot draft this guy in the first round.
Pretty wild, isn't it, Nathan?
It is wild because that's what he does. He does things that are unconventional, and,
right.
And a lot of the job of a talent evaluator is to project how the skill set you see will develop and project to the NFL level. With Johnny Manziel, there are things that you just can't. It is difficult to project with any reasonable accuracy. And even Mel Kiper said that. You don't know what kind of NFL quarterback he's going to be.
Because it's not commonplace with how he succeeded. And while it's been over the top exciting, a lot of it was ad lib.
Right.
A lot of it was as plays, at least in his mind, broke down, or his want to extend plays, as you and I talked about, the 17-yard skinny post is there. It's there. The receiver said, give me the football. And Johnny looks at it and said, I think I can make something bigger and better out of this. That worries me, and it's not going to fly in the National Football League. So he's going to have to do that. Nathan, again, you haven't been, I've been filling in for you, but this reminds me so much of 2011. I'm talking the quarterbacks. When Blaine Gabbert and Jake Locker and Christian Ponder went 8, 10, and 12, and all of our jaws were on the ground. Remember that?
Yes.
This has the same type of feel to me. Here we sit 3 years later, two of those teams still want quarterbacks, and the other one's not sure about Locker. I have the same type of feel about this quarterback crop as what's happened with the 2011 class.
The one thing I'll say about whoever comes to the Browns, unlike those three that you just referenced right there, they're going to come into a better situation.
Okay.
You're going to have Josh Gordon to throw the football to. You're going to have Jordan Cameron. You have a couple of Pro Bowl pass catches.
Agreed.
Hopefully a better defense. The Browns, in my opinion, are close. They've made some good moves. They're close. And with this draft, they have an opportunity to infuse so much talent onto this roster that this is a team that could make a quick jump. The quarterback will come to a better situation, but are they that guy that can come in play and be effective? That's the real question.
Yeah, my bigger point to that was you're right about the situation being much better. No question about that. My point was with about those three young men, it was there was not a consensus of strength on any of them. They all were considered having been reached for to see if you could hit lightning in a bottle with any of them. And as I said, unfortunately, here they are. We've seen 3 years with all of them, and none of them have taken hold of their situation or been able to get their football team to sustain playoff
success,
yeah.
Certainly. And Mel Kiper talked about Teddy Bridgewater, the guy that I think will be the best quarterback from this class, talked about his slide heading into the draft.
Yeah, I never had Bridgewater going number one, but certainly when you think about the third pick, fourth pick, you know, fifth pick until Oakland got Matt Schaub, you thought, hey, Teddy Bridgewater could fall in that mix. But the pro day, which is scripted by the player, that normally players get an A-plus grade or an A grade coming out of, Teddy Bridgewater basically failed the pro day. And that's something that hasn't happened. Now, Peyton Manning didn't have an impressive pro day. But, you know, Peyton Manning's Peyton Manning. Teddy Bridgewater, to me, could be there in the early second round.
I can't see that.
I can't see it in the second round. He's still Mel Kiper's number one ranked quarterback.
He's
still a lot of the top evaluators' number one ranked quarterback.
Too.
But he thinks that's a sense that he's getting from around the NFL that Teddy Bridgewater is the one guy who could fall. Is this all smoke screens? Is it all some type of a big, you know, push to get focus off him so some team later on that wants him really badly can get him? That's certainly possible, too, because I remember the one report that still sticks with me is when Chris Mortensen came out and said he had heard that Teddy Bridgewater had been shaky in his team workouts, and he had worked out for exactly one team there. So you can't have plural when you've only done a singular. And at that point, it was revealed that it was the Cleveland Browns, according to Ian Rappaport, who he had worked out with, and the Browns had not made any comments about it. So
yeah,
it was an interesting situation there, and you just kind of wonder what's going
on. Well, as you
there.
Said, at the end of the football season, no question about it, Teddy Bridgewater was adjudged to be the top quarterbacking talent coming out. Didn't
yep.
necessarily mean he's going overall number one. Not that, just that he would. What has happened since his final football game until now? And again, I'm just not a big pro day believer in the fact that if a kid doesn't perform well, that you take away all that he's done on game day and when you've evaluated him in practice as well.
I agree. And this actually just came in from Adam Schefter saying today on SportsCenter he expects Jadeveon Clowney, Greg Robinson, Khalil Mack, and Sammy Watkins to be the first four picks in the NFL draft. No quarterbacks there. And that would put Watkins at four to the Cleveland Browns, which I know some of you want. Now, Schefter also saying, though, that the Rams are seriously considering taking Watkins at number two.
Yeah, and
really some people might say, well, they took Tavon Austin last year. Maybe they might not go wide receiver this year. But they are clearly looking at Sammy Watkins in a serious fashion, and he is under consideration for the second overall pick in the draft.
Well, I didn't mean to jump Adam Schefter there.
That's all
my
right.
apologies,
okay.
Mr. Schefter. I'm a little surprised at that, Nathan, because, I mean, here we're talking about, you know, this football team seemed to stock it on up now with Pettis and Stedman Bailey, right? Givens, right? Chris Givens?
Yep.
Other receivers didn't. Kenny Britt?
Brian Quick.
Brian Quick. They brought Kenny Britt in, did
Britt's
they not,
now.
As a
yep.
UFA?
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, they made a lot of investment in that position.
Exactly.
A lot.
They have, and yet, okay. I mean, Watkins, too. I agree, though, previously, those four that Kuiper was talking about, I would say that's the big board on most NFL organizations.
It's interesting, and we'll see. May 8th still seems so far away, but it is coming up. And speaking of coming up next, we will go three topics with three-time Super Bowl champion Gerard Cherry, who joins us next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I gotta tell you.